It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't writing nothing.
I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
9 o'clock, Jeffrey Wright in studio. I'm Brad Carson, and we are filling in for the great Jeff Calkins as we approach the 4th of July holiday. Good morning, Jeffrey Wright.
Good morning to you, Brad Carson.
It is one of my favorite weekends of the year, and we have made the executive decision. Our bosses have put together a plan so that we are going to run free agency coverage via ESPN Radio for the next 4 days. We will get some much-needed rest, barbecuing, and most importantly for Jeffrey Wright, fireworks.
Mm-mm. Yes, indeed.
And I heard, yes, U.S. freaking A, man. We may not be able to play soccer, but damn it, we can light up the sky with some fireworks.
Absolutely.
And I've already stopped in Lakeland. I hit the exit just like y'all. You know, they've got the exit right there, fireworks, USA, I think it is. And there's several of them to choose from. And so I'm loaded up to shoot legal, illegal bottle rockets. You have it ready to upset your neighbor's dogs. Sorry, y'all. But I'm with Jeffrey on this, man. Let's light it up and have some fun and drink some beer and have a cookout. Yes, it is a different voice than you're used to. It's not the knowledgeable Jeff Calkins on the radio. It's the not-so-knowledgeable Brad Carson. Jeffrey Wright, who is the hardest working man in show business, as is most of our staff here, because when you have a radio station, there's a lot of moving pieces. So,
especially in the summer.
Woo boy. Especially with the way that fertility works around this radio station. You know, I mean, we did
hire a bunch of guys in their 30s.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that was the right move because we need more young blood in this business. You had the, John Martin obviously had the little siesta there. You were a battler, though. You took, two days. I mean, it wasn't much. You got the job done.
The show must go on.
Jeff, I don't think, is having any more children.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Gabe Kuhn has announced that he has a baby on the way. Mark Giannato had three and then just left. He was done with it.
Yep.
I don't think Stacy and I have one in the oven yet, so maybe this 4th of July weekend we can work on that. But it is going to be a warm weekend, 98 today. Heat indexes are well over 100, especially if you're on the AstroTurf or the turf playing
grassy
baseball.
Grassy turf, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, I know Jeffrey's dad is involved with that, and it gets hot out there in Millington on the turf. So do stay cool and keep it on 92.9. We've got a full show today. John Martin will join us at 9:35, host of Jason and John from 11 till 2, the show that I produce most weekdays. What we'll talk with him about is something that maybe Jeffrey and I will catch up on, which is there was football last night on HBO's Hard Knocks, the Giants offseason. But I got to tell you, thin on content in that offseason, bro. We're talking about Saquon Barkley a little way too much in that episode.
I conscientiously objected.
Did you watch it?
No, I refused.
Yeah.
Because I know exactly what they're doing. The Maras and the Tishes hate Hard Knocks.
Yep.
And so the Giants have never been on Hard Knocks, and this was like their way of, well, we're not going to put the actual team on like real Hard Knocks. We're going to do this. And
the executive staff.
Correct.
Right. And it was thin. I mean, there was no football in the thing. You've got the GM. Is it Spencer?
Shane.
Yeah.
Thin. Jay Shane.
Yeah, Shane. Yeah. Shane who signed a Shane. I mean, it was.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was basically the episode right there. I think I gave it a synopsis.
I think you could see the whole episode in the trailer.
Basically that, and I'm a sucker for this stuff because of the if you put a good graphic up with some kick-ass music.
No, if you put football in front of me, I'm going to watch it. The problem is They didn't put football in front of
me. No, it was really thin. So maybe I'll ask him about that and his Raiders. But most importantly, the Grizzlies have announced their summer league schedule, which starts on Monday. And what we expect for that, obviously the Tigers, as the Tiger Turns drama, which John obviously writes about college hoops, specifically about the Tigers for the Daily Memphian. So that's probably where I'll center on with John. Chris Harrington to talk about hoops. We'll talk about Bronny. We'll talk about LeBron's new contract. He did a 1+1 contract for a little over $100 million. They're still in the second apron.
LeBron is apparently willing to take $1 million less.
Yeah, he's such a good guy.
Heroic.
Such a great heroic figure, isn't he, Jeffrey? Yes. And they're not even, as many people have pointed out on X Twitter today, they're not even close to having any flexibility with this contract.
No.
So this does
but
nothing.
But he wasn't going to take a pay cut.
Even the $1 million really doesn't do you much because you can't get any free agents.
To your point, all it does is keep him out of the second apron.
So I'll chat with Chris about that. And then summer league coverage. The Grizzlies, by the way, and I will point this out, all their games are going to be on their own app, on that Grind City app, and I think that's a smart move. We'll see if it works, but fingers crossed, they're going to cover all the games.
You got to think to a certain degree this is probably testing.
I think this is a good test ground for it.
To see if this can actually be a future
an endeavor. Yeah, and this is where this business is going. So, Chris, to talk about free agency and more, a little after 10 o'clock, it's usually, we float the clock, folks. 10:05 is probably where we'll hit that. Sam Hardiman, who does government and enterprise work, 10:35, our intrepid reporter on the streets who visits with us, usually, is it on Wednesdays usually?
Indeed.
So this is in his spot at 10:35 that he does with Jeff. The assistant MPD chief lives in Georgia, Jeffrey.
That was news.
Boy, and he's voting regularly, too, just to put it on record for us. I mean, Fulton County records do show he loves to vote in a county that's not
that
Shelby.
Wrong? Should I have not done that?
Yeah, it might be. It might be. I think you got to live here if you're going to make that kind of scratch doing police work in a town that desperately needs people to live in it.
I just feel like you should at least live, I don't know, maybe in an adjacent county?
Oh, boy. Hell, I'll even let you live in, like, DeSoto.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah, be within the city limits or, you know, be within the metro area.
So Sam reported this for the Daily Memphian, and we'll catch up on that. The supercomputer's coming at the end of July, maybe early August.
Indeed. That was exciting to see that it seems like close to maybe even ahead of schedule.
That's exciting. I think any sort of business news is exciting in the city of Memphis. And it is indeed money for the city of Memphis down there on the river. So Sam Hardiman, 10:35 from the Daily Memphian. That is the lineup. This is the 4th of July weekend. We appreciate y'all hanging with us as I start off the show with a buddy of mine, Christopher Gabriel, who's a host in Fresno on KMJ, SEC analyst insider, follows the Vols and is on much of the time on radio in East Tennessee and now in West Tennessee. Christopher, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. It's great to talk to you. Let's make it very clear. I love coming on with you, and I've been in Memphis many, many times over the years. I've never gone to Memphis and not had a great time. Always had great food and just good times in the western part of the state, my friend.
Well, listen, I don't buy into the west part versus the middle part versus the east part of our state, but Memphis has a chip on its shoulder, and I guess there's good reason for that. You know, we've had a hard time getting over the top, whether it's with the Grizzlies. We've been right there with Mario Chalmers putting a dagger in our heart a few years ago, and now he's suing the NCAA, by the way, for the footage on that, but we can get to that maybe. But so we got a little bit of a chip on our shoulder. We're not in the SEC. Well, we're trying to get into a power conference here, Christopher. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do. And see, coming from California, and of course, as you know, I'm a native Midwester. I'm a native Chicagoan. But here in California, folks here really do identify with the part of the state they're from, because I'm in Central California, but essentially we're absorbed into Northern California. And the divide between Northern California and Southern California is like the divide between Oakland and San Francisco or the north side and south side of Chicago. If you are in this state, somebody will say, oh, where are you from? I'm from California. Yeah, but where are you from?
And,
well, I'm from Lafayette, the Bay Area. Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're from the north. Yeah, later for you.
Yeah.
You get a lot of that out here, as you well know.
Yeah, and it's Christopher Gabriel. You can find him on X. It's no longer Twitter, at CG Program on X. And before I get to the DeBoer interview, which you can find on Christopher's X page there on Twitter or whatever you want to call it, but a terrific 20-minute interview with him. And I know that you guys have been close because of your time in California, specifically in Fresno and his ties to the Northwest. I want to get to that in a second. second, but I think it is a good place to start because we're fresh off of the NBA draft. You know Tennessee's program, and we do too, and I think there are a lot of Grizzlies fans who respect the hell out of Dalton Knecht and what he accomplished. Clearly, in the transfer portal, highly coveted, was a centerpiece for that team. An amazing run for the Vols, and our Vols fans here in Memphis can appreciate that. But when it came to the draft, I think one of the surprising things for a lot of us on 92.9, which, by the way, you can hear us on Odyssey and KMJ on Odyssey, your station on the Odyssey app.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of us appreciated Dalton Knecht, but we were surprised here at 92.9 by the reaction to not drafting Dalton Knecht. I don't think it was an overwhelming piece. You know, it's a few people on X or Twitter or what have you. But when they drafted Edie, there was a small amount of people who are like, why are you not going to get the athlete from Tennessee? Why did he drop to the Lakers? And why are all of these Vols fans upset at the Grizzlies for not drafting Dalton Knecht? Where are you on both the Grizzlies drafting Edie in that slot and Dalton Knecht and his fall to the Lakers at 17?
Well, listen, admittedly, I mean, I am a lifelong Vols fan, as you pointed out. I have family that went there. I was recruited by Tennessee for basketball. So I go back deep with it, but I'm also a media guy. So I'll put my media hat on, my objectivity hat on. A couple of things that I see here. Dalton Knecht, he's a multi-level scorer. I mean, this is a guy who can catch and shoot it. He can create off the dribble, pull up, and basically launch from anywhere with a pretty good percentage, and he can create off the dribble, take it to the hole, and go up and over pretty much anybody. We saw him do that all year. It started with the Michigan State game when he had the steal, the behind the back, take it the length of the court, and then just flew out of the gym at Breslin Center. So he's a dynamic guy. He's a gym rat. He's the guy that after a game, whether it's a win or a loss, he is in the gym shooting 1,000 shots with the assistant coach lucky to stay there with him till 2 o'clock in the morning. So he's the kind of guy that you really want because his attitude for the game, his respect for the game is not only something as a coach that you appreciate, but as a teammate you respect. And he, just by his very nature, he wants to learn. He wants to gain from everybody that's older than him, but he also is somebody that people look at and say, well, you know what, if DK is doing that, I should be doing that as well. Mm. With a guy like Zach Edey, the easy route to go if you're a Vols fan is you get annoyed. You get annoyed because he stood in their way. And, you know, I'm not going to relitigate the entire Elite Eight game, what happened in that game. But when I look at Zach Edey objectively, I come from an era, Brad, that I watched guys who played that position who were as dynamic in the collegiate game as anybody I've ever seen. I saw Lou Alcindor when he was at UCLA. I saw Bill Walton. I saw Hakeem Olajuwon. Ralph Sampson, although I put him just a level below those three guys. Those guys were dynamic passers. They were able to create for their teammates, create for themselves. They didn't find themselves parked like they were on a beach in the lane, much like Zach Edey does. I'm not going to say that I think Zach Edey is overrated. I don't know that he is as fully developed as a lot of guys who have preceded him, going way back to the 70s, 80s, and much more recently. So I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised that Memphis didn't take a guy who was in their own backyard, because I think the fact that he's going to go to the Lakers, I'm going to be able to go down and get credentialed and see DK quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, say what you will about LeBron. He's going to be in an environment playing for a coach who I think is a high-risk, high-reward coach in J.J. Redick. He's going to be playing for a guy that will really know how to use him, because in many ways, Dalton Knecht has the kind of game that J.J. Redick had, although he's much bigger and stronger, maybe not as fast, or not faster, I should say, than J.J. when he played. But I do think that what they're going to ask of Dalton Knecht for the Lakers, and the fact that he's going to be able to learn from Redick, he's going to be able to learn in an environment that has LeBron James and Anthony Davis, is going to really benefit him. I guess I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised that Zach Edey ended up where he did.
Yep, I can tell you follow the Vols closely. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm torn on this one, and we're talking to Christopher Gabriel. He's a host on KMJ Radio, friend. Also, you can hear him on the Odyssey app on KMJ, just like you can 92.9 FM ESPN. I want to stay on the NBA then, because I'm intrigued by this conversation about both of those players and about the Western Conference, because there's been a lot of movement. Yesterday, they had the Dalton Connect press conference, and you see Bronny standing there, and you're just talking about the Lakers. So we'll start with the Lakers, and we'll bounce around a little bit here to the Warriors. I'm with you. I may not be with you on the Edie part of that point, but I am with you on Dalton Connect. Like, I think I would have been happy with either one of those players. And I recognize, and I want to point out, as John Martin has here on 92.9, multiple teams did not take Dalton Connect between the Grizzlies pick at 9 and then the 17th pick at the Lakers. So if we do revisionist history after this, you and I both will both say, well, all of these teams missed him. I really like the high release, and that is, it is beautiful. And I believe in Dalton Connect as an NBA player. He's going to be a shooter, and especially with that coach and that system and the driving kicks he's going to get from LeBron probably early on. And the center with Davis there. I think he's going to get his opportunities to spot up and shoot. Having said that, it's not what the Grizzlies need. And so what I read this as, the Grizzlies are like, look, we've got a log jam at the wing with shooters, especially with Desmond Bane. And so with our depth at the wing and young wings, let's, if we're going to have a shot at this and we're not going to be able to sign some of these high-priced free agents for the center position, let's go get this guy and just, because they've swung and missed on some dudes. They've hit on some four-year players, but they've really done a good job of hitting on four-year players. Desmond's one of those guys. They took a couple of second-round picks, G.G. Jackson hitting in the second round, but that was an anomaly. Zaire Williams, who they picked at 9 a few years back, did not work. So I think going with the four-year player in Zach Edey, especially somebody who's a two-year college player of the year, he had a deep run in the tournament. He's only been playing basketball for 6 years. I just see it as an opportunity, and it might be a swing, but I think it's one, if you're the Grizzlies, maybe you need to take to stay competitive with not only the Lakers, but now the Warriors, who just reloaded with D'Anthony Melton signing there, maybe upgrading by getting rid of Clay. I don't know. But you got Denver sitting there. You've got all these teams. So you have to take some risks.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And let me clarify just a little bit, talking about Zach Edey, and not flip-flopping, because I still, the jury for me is still out on him. But to go the other side, listen, he's a guy who is massive. What, he's 7'4"?
Huge.
And unlike so many guys that we've seen over the years that have been that big, he is not big and gawky. He's big and strong.
Right.
He is a big body, and I think that if he develops, and there's no reason to think that he won't, but if he develops, he is going to ultimately be a monster acquisition for Memphis. There's no doubt about it. I mean, these days, the NBA game it doesn't really go through the center position, the low block position, but I think one of the reasons is because there have been so many terrific small and power forwards and so many great guards that the game has moved out. It's just moved out to the arc. It's moved into a transition game where, the five on a break, Zach Edey has not really necessarily been needed in transition except to get the outlet pass.
Mm-hmm. Upset but picks.
I'll tell you, Brad, if he develops,
yep,
and really becomes a force, he is going to, he could be the kind of guy that becomes a game changer. Now, you mentioned Golden State. I have to tell you, moving out here 10 years ago and being able to cover as a media guy and be a fan, go up to first Oracle Arena and then the Chase Center, it's been such a treat to watch those guys. And listen, I understand your audience doesn't care much for the Golden State Warriors. I get it. But let's be objective about it here.
Sure.
Watching, it's like when I watch John Morant, I will happily pay to watch John Morant. I'll watch him anywhere, yeah, anytime in the driving rain. I love watching that young man play basketball. Watching Steph and Clay, the things that they did night in and night out, it reminds me a lot of some of the young kids out here who think that it's LeBron James and everybody else. Well, they never saw Michael Jordan play night in and night out like you did, like I did. They only see the highlight reels. And with Steph and Clay, those two, there were nights that even more than Steph, there were more than a few nights that Klay Thompson practically lit the darn arena on fire. And it just didn't matter where he was shooting from. He needed a second or less to get a shot off. I'm really shocked Well, I'm not shocked that he went to Dallas. I mean, if you watched the playoffs, and you did, and I did, that was the missing piece for them. I mean, the one thing that Dallas needed was the kind of juice that Clay can give them. Now, did Clay do that for the Warriors this year? Not so much. And a lot of us are really surprised that he didn't end up in Los Angeles, because I know as soon as it was clear, with the people that I spoke to up in the Warriors, as soon as it was clear that Clay was not going to be coming back to the Warriors because he wanted a much bigger deal than the Warriors were going to give him. And I'll tell you, and this is unconfirmed, there's some other stuff that has come out about Clay, back channel in the locker rooms, the practice facility. I don't want to get into any of that. I just know a lot of that stuff has come out, and suddenly they're making it seem like, well, we're going to be better off without him.
Right, right.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But I know that his game, I believe his game was going to have a lot more latitude to it in Los Angeles with LeBron and Anthony Davis and the other pieces they have there than it will with the Mavericks. I mean, you've got Luka, you've got Kyrie, and I think his game is going to be largely limited to catch and shoot. Now, he can catch and shoot with anybody in the history of the game, but I do think that what he's also able to do when he's completely healthy are the kind of things that the Lakers would have made more use of. We'll never know, but a lot of us out here, Brad, are really surprised that he didn't end up with the Lakers. We're not surprised that rent-a-player Chris Paul was here for one and done, and he's gone.
Yep. No, we're talking to CG. It's Christopher Gabriel from KMJ Radio. You can hear him on the Odyssey app here, where you can hear 92.9 FM ESPN. He's in Fresno, and he covers all of these teams, including the Golden State Warriors, California teams, the Vols. We were talking about Dalton Connect, and I think the Lakers drafted their shooter. I think Dalton Connect will see the floor. I think he'll see it early.
Yes.
I think that he's going to be on the floor a lot, and I think it will disappoint some Grizzlies fans who wanted to draft him. Having said that, I don't think there's much time, going back to your Edie comments, there's no time for him to develop, because they need to win now with the short window now with a couple of years left with Jaren Jackson getting Ja back from the suspensions and now the big injury, having Bane and having three guys on big deals, if not max deals for two of them, and then trying to put these pieces around that core three. I think Edie needs to serve, and I think Grizzlies, we've said this over and over again, he needs to be like Steven Adams, only better as far as being a better free throw shooter. And he's not going to be having to score a bunch of points. They don't need him to score points, but they do need him to be a solid, pick setter, 20-minute guy, spot guy, not necessarily even a playoff guy, and then use the pogo stick guy like Brandon Clark to back him up. But I do think the Grizzlies are going to be in the mix. I do think Dalton Connect will disappoint some Grizzlies fans when they see how they use him. And to your point about, Klay Thompson, I know you're being respectful because that's how you roll, and I appreciate that about you, Christopher. However, I think he was a pain in the ass. You could see it when he was talking to the media. You could see that he was upset about the deal. You could see it when he unfollowed him on X, which is bizarre behavior, but whatever. That's just how these things go when the party's over. The dismount is never comfortable. And then, what's 10 years past, and pretty soon they'll have his jersey in the rafters, and we'll go, hey, wasn't that great when the Warriors had Draymond Green and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and we'll have a big party later on. But I do think Dallas, he's going to have to be awesome for Dallas to find their way back to the finals. I just don't see that happening. I actually believe more in the Lakers and the Grizzlies than I do Dallas next year.
Yeah, if I may, and again, I know I'm talking to a lot of Grizzlies fans, but it has been an interesting thing to watch, this precipitous decline of the Warriors. And I mean, it goes back to when Kevin Durant was, employing large or extra large rabbit ears and thinking that things were being said about him out here that weren't.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
I think the worst move that, and I'm going to roll this back into your point, the worst thing that ever happened to the Warriors was Kevin Durant thinking that he was going to be better off somewhere else. And he has never been better off anywhere else. It's like James Harden. Any team with James Harden is not going to win an NBA title. End of story.
Facts.
And, I've been saying it for years. But then you saw this decline, you saw injuries, you saw the wear and tear of so many going deep, deep into, 80, 90, 100 games with the playoffs. And then you see Bob Myers leave, and I raised the question on my program and a couple of other ones that, how much of a factor is a guy like Bob Myers leaving going to hurt the Warriors? And a lot of folks out here didn't think it was a big deal. I thought it was a huge deal.
Yep.
Because he was, as like him or hate him, he was as big an architect and force within that organization and a buffer with the players and everybody else as Jerry Krause was with the Bulls. The players hated Krause, but Krause, to a man, if you got him sideways, they would say Krause was key in putting that team together. So I do think going forward, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this Memphis team. I mean, they were 27-55 last year, bringing Zach Edey and some whatever other deals that they may make going forward. You know, are they going to be able to improve? If we look at this past year of the bottom rung of the playoffs with the play-in stuff, 46-36 is what got you in. Is Zach Edey and the guys on this roster, Brad, are they going to be enough? Is that going to be enough to improve them 15 to 20 games?
Yeah, and the answer may be no, honestly. And we're talking to Christopher Gabriel from KMJ on the Odyssey app. You can listen to KMJ and Christopher, also 92.9 FM ESPN. We're here on the Jeff Calkins Show. By the way, Brad Carson filling in today. Jeff off today. He'll be back on Monday after the 4th of July holiday.
I didn't know Jeff took days off. I didn't know Jeff ever took a day off.
The man is everywhere all the time, including this radio show, as well as writing for the Daily Memphian. So shout out to Jeff, and thanks for coming on the show today. I'm intrigued by this whole conversation because we talk so much NBA because of the Grizzlies. We're pretty fresh off of it. Free agency is still going to be going on until Saturday midday, Christopher. So I will say I disagree a little bit on Bob Myers from this perspective. Not totally disagree with you, but hear me out on this. Bob Myers to me reminds me of a guy leaving an organization who sees the writing on the wall with where it's going to go, even though he set it up. In other words, it's kind of like it's a hedge on the company you just built that you're selling out because you think that the industry is not going to go a certain way. I think Dunleavy's fine. I think Clay was a pain in the ass. You can't re-sign him. The money was probably, he wasn't going to get there. I think he's got a nice low-dough deal here. I'm a huge D'Anthony Melton fan. I'm a big believer in guys where sometimes people write these guys off if they just, even three playoff series, like, yep, he sucks. He's been injured or whatever. And it's just like, I just don't think that's the NBA. I think you have to take, it's like the lottery, not the NBA lottery, but it's like, you're going to have years where you're healthy and dudes perform. And Steph is going to be either healthy next year and have an awesome older season or not. Draymond's going to keep out of trouble or not. You might have a guy like D'Anthony Melton who might start for that team, who has a career year next year, and he's young enough. And then you've got pieces with some of these other guys that you've missed on or didn't miss on. But I don't think the Warriors are going to be out of it. But I do think you're right. Bob Myers probably did himself a favor by getting out of there and getting on ESPN versus going down with the ship,
Well, here's the thing. Everything you just said, I completely agree with. My point on Bob Myers, there's no question that he saw what was coming, and he got out while the ship still wasn't carrying too much water. My main point about Myers is that when he was there, it was like Theo Epstein in Boston or Theo Epstein when he was with the Cubs.
There was
something about Bob Myers in that organization with Joe Lacob, as the owner, with Steve Kerr as your coach, with the players, with everybody right down to the people who showed you to your seats. There was something very comforting within this organization that you knew, you felt it was tangible with Bob Myers here. And when he left, that's when I felt like you had, when you have something at home in your building and suddenly a little screw pops out, a little washer pops out. That was the feeling that I got from people inside the organization there and other folks who cover them from inside the Bay Area. That was the feeling that I got when Bob Myers left. So to that extent, Brad, that's why I think he was a bigger key for that organization than I think a lot of people gave credit to.
Well, and it's why in sports, if it's baseball or basketball, like the Cubs just spent all this money on Craig Counsell, there are no guarantees you're going to get back to where David Ross had the Cubs. It's the same thing with this organization, only the reverse, the GM's leaving in this case. Padres, they picked up the Cardinals' old manager and Mike Schilt. Cardinals, are you better off without Mike Schilt? You thought you were because maybe you didn't like the way he did things. Sometimes you never get back to that. And that doesn't mean you're going to win a championship. But sometimes you just had to have cracks at the whip, it's the same thing with when I talk about UT basketball. People bitch all the time about Rick Barnes. They're like, Rick Barnes, what's he do? He gets to the Sweet 16 and then he bows out. You could only pray that your basketball team gets to the Sweet 16 in like every two of every 6 years or into the last round of 32. Like, all you need to do in sports is get there, and that's all you can hope for. Am I right?
How many coaches are there in Division I basketball? 350, 360? How many of them have won a national championship? How many of them have gotten to the Final Four? How many have gotten to the Elite Eight? Listen,
right.
I get the complaints about Rick Barnes, but you just said it. How many people have won more than 800 games? I mean, there's a reason that Rick Barnes has done what he's done for as long as he's done it. And there are any number of things that you can conflate that conspire, ultimately conspire to a team getting to a Final Four and not getting to a Final Four. There's guys like Tom Izzo and formerly Coach K that just have a knack, that just rise to the top when it gets to that time of year. You can also make the argument that they've always had a level of talent above most other teams, including Tennessee. So when I look at Rick Barnes, tell me who's going to do a better job.
Right.
The guy is an amazing recruiter, and the players who play for him, who stay there, who want to work for him, swear by him. So, you know, for me, I'm good with a guy like Rick Barnes. It frustrates me that he's not gotten there. But I tell you this, when I look at University of Tennessee, and now I'm going to put my Vols hat back on, Brad.
Yep.
When I look at Tennessee and I look at Rick Barnes, I look at Josh Heupel and what he's doing there and the kinds of people he's bringing in, and Tony Vitello, who just won the national championship, show me a threesome of coaches in those three sports at any Division I school in America that can match them.
I can't disagree, and it's why I said I think Danny White is the best AD in college sports. And Memphis fans are going to hate me for saying it on 92.9, but it's just a fact. I mean, it's just a fact. He might be the best at what he does. Yeah,
he did some. Forget my interruption, Brad.
That's right.
He was at Fresno State for a while, and you know, when you talk to people, administrators, and I've had a chance to talk to a bunch around the country, and I just throw out the topic of, you know, who do you think is the best AD, and four, yeah, or five, six, seven names come up. His is one of the names that always comes up because, you know, when I've been on radio in Knoxville, I've been in southeast, southeastern part of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, what I always hear is, well, you know, he hasn't hired all those coaches. Yeah, well, you know what? An athletic director's job is a lot more than hiring coaches. It's fundraising, it's facility building, it's facility renovation, and it is being able to rally a community, both locally, regionally, and nationally, of your alums, your donors, your fans, rally them to the cause. And I can't think of anybody right now in this country who's better than him.
No, I can't disagree. Christopher Gabriel from KMJR, a guest here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Brad Carson filling in. You can hear him on the Odyssey app on KMJ here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's so graciously has granted us about 20 minutes. We've gone on for 20 minutes about the NBA and UT. And I did tee this up as talking about Kalen DeBoer in the Bama interview you did. And you can hear the interview with Kalen DeBoer on your feed there on X if you'd like to hear the DeBoer interview with Christopher. I'll just leave you with one thing because I know we got to go here. Is he going to be? Here's the only question I come away, and it's a great interview you did with him, but I have one central question that I just ask every time we talk about DeBoer, and that is, can he pull this off? Do you think he can pull this off?
Yeah, I can. I do. This is a guy who, you know, he started 67-3 as a head coach at the University of Sioux Falls, won three national championships. A lot of folks will say, yeah, well, that was NAIA. Well, yeah, but who else in NAIA was winning 67-3 like he was? He was an offensive coordinator. He rewrote the record book at Eastern Michigan, at Southern Illinois. He came here as the offensive coordinator for Jeff Tedford, and he immediately took Fresno State offense to a completely different level. He went to Indiana, and suddenly Indiana was second in the Big Ten in total offense behind Ohio State. When have you ever seen the Indiana Hoosiers have that kind of production? And who was one of his guys there? Sorry, I just lost him. Am I still there?
Yeah, you're here.
I thought I lost you. Sorry. You know, he was working there, you know, with Michael Penix was there. He came back head coach here at Fresno State, 12-6, goes up 25-3 with Washington. Here's the things about him that's going to make him successful. He is a tireless recruiter. He is not the martini, the martini guy. He is the beer and shoot a game of pool guy. Folks in Alabama, I've already been on radio in Tuscaloosa down there. Folks there already love him. He is a regular guy. He would rather sit and have a burger and shoot the breeze with you about any sport in any part of the country than he would, you know, have to do the whole hobnob and the elite this and that. He is a guy that his offense has not failed anywhere he has been, Brad. Everywhere he's been, he has been successful. He's got the support of Saban. He's got the support of Greg Byrne. Obviously, he hired him. But he's already doing things like folks there are seeing video of him in practice. They're seeing their beloved Crimson Tide. They're not my beloved Crimson Tide. But folks are seeing things that they never saw with Saban. Now, in the grand picture, that's neither here nor there. But what he's saying is, University of Alabama, he's saying to Alabama fans and residents, this is your team. So you have a right to see your team. And I'm going to make sure that you see your team. He's giving access in a way that people haven't had before. And that is translating to recruits. Who has the number one recruiting class right now for 25? Yeah, it's Alabama.
Yep.
I don't want him to be successful.
Yeah.
As my friend, I want him to do well.
And that whole war chest and infrastructure that he spoke of on the interview you did, Christopher, has a lot to do with that recruiting class. But I'll speak on behalf, before I just let you go here, and say on behalf of our Alabama friends, he better win. Christopher,
yeah,
Gabriel. Yeah.
By the way, before you go, I know you have to run.
Yeah.
I just want to say one thing, because you and I have talked about this a lot. Your school right there, the Memphis Tigers, they should be in a big conference. I don't know how long it's going to take, but Memphis football, basketball, and all the Olympic sports, they should be.
Will they? Okay.
Memphis should be.
In our final minute here, because we've got to go. Will they get in over an SDSU? That's my only question.
They should. I mean, I know that a lot of folks put a lot of stock into San Diego State. They saw them in the national championship game. But the last 2 years, the team that has driven revenue in terms of attendance, it's not San Diego State. It's Fresno State. They have owned attendance records in this conference. San Diego, though, it's a beautiful area, gorgeous campus, good school. But I would say that Memphis has a lengthy history. I'm not telling anybody in your audience anything they don't know.
Yeah.
I would say for the length of history that Memphis basketball has had, for the growing excellence that football has had, the amount of players that they've had, the talent that they've had, I would say put Memphis in before you put a San Diego State in.
Excellent. All right, Christopher, thank you so much for coming on today.
You got it, man.
It's Christopher Gabriel from KMJ. You can hear him on the Odyssey app. KMJ broadcasts on the Odyssey app, just like 92.9 FM ESPN. Jeffrey Wright rejoins me here in studio. And, I think the most interesting thing we hit on was the Alabama conversation with DeBoer. And you tend to believe he's the right hire.
Yeah, I think he's a good football coach. I mean, I think the overarching theme, though, of everything that y'all just talked about there, whether it be the NBA,
right,
whether it be college basketball, whether it be the Alabama football program, it's all going to boil down to players.
Right.
And I am curious to know, there's a belief that some of the talent in the last five years or so at Alabama, they were taking a Saban discount. You play for Saban, you'll end up being better in the long term for it. Was that true? Was that not? Like, to me, like, that's what it's really going to boil down to, because we're seeing now recruiting is just so transactional.
Which is why Memphis should be good, because now you have the best players in your league. Regardless of who's coaching them.
There's no excuse.
Yeah. Fascinating. John Martin's going to join us next. He's the host of Jason and John, weekdays here 11 till 2, and we'll ask him. Yesterday's news was the Caleb Mills waiver news, that he's clearly not returning to Memphis, and I don't think anybody really expected that to happen, but we'll ask him about the Tigers, the Grizzlies, who have just announced their summer schedule, and more. You're listening to the Jeff Calkins Show. Jeffrey Wright, Brad Carson in studio here, and on the Odyssey app on 92.9 FM ESPN. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
July 4th is upon us. Tonight, we shall celebrate with a dazzling display of sky pyrotechnics.
So we're all united.
Yeah! People, I'm glad we got our independence. Can you imagine me British? Eating tea and dunking crumpers?
92.9 FM ESPN.
Independence Day.
Memphis' sports station.
Happy 4th of July weekend from all of us here at 92.9 FM ESPN.
The one-stop shop for hoops in Memphis. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Selling your home can be stressful, but if you call Josh Hysa,
he'll make it easy. My friend Sarah had a house in East Memphis, and they knew they didn't have time for a traditional sale. So they called Josh Isaw, asked about his instant cash over, came over for a walkthrough. Rest was history. Within 48 hours of calling Josh, he bought their home as is and paid in cash. Josh Isaw will make you an instant cash offer at full market value for your home. Plus, he offers flexible fees, no upfront cost, and he'll let you out of your contract at any time. Call Josh Isaw and his team at Keller Williams Realty if you are thinking about selling your home. The phone number, 901-461-8147. Once again, that's 901-461-8147. It's Josh Isaw. Don't take my word for it. He has more than 300 five-star Google reviews. You can visit him at joshhasthebuyers.com.
Celebrate July 4th with the hottest deals at Lowe's. Right now, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for $10. And buy two, get one free on select paint and exterior stain via Lowe's gift card rebate. Shop these deals before they're gone, because Lowe's knows summer savings. Valid through 7/10. Annuals offer in-store only. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Actual plant size and selection varies by location. Paint, more terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details while supplies last.
People talk about trailblazing, but how do you really blaze a trail? Woo-hoo! With all-terrain tires, tubular roof rack, a lifted suspension, and a rugged build that craves adventure. This is the off-road unlocked. Find your path in the Nissan Pathfinder Rock Creek.
Privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop, opt out. Minimum purchase required. Interest accrues from the date of purchase but is waived if paid within the promotional period. Go to windowappointmentnow.com for full offer details.
Attention homeowners. Do you know when to replace your windows? Feeling too hot or cold? Fog between the glass? Spending too much and expensive energy that literally goes out the window? It's time to replace.
And right now, you can get a free in-home consultation and free price quote from Renewal by Anderson. Plus, during the month of July, buy one window or door and get one 40% off when you buy four or more.
Just text VIEW to 200-300 for your free consultation on top quality, affordable windows or doors for no money down, no monthly payments, and no interest for 12 months.
That's right. You don't pay a dime for 12 months. Plus, for July only, buy one window or door and get one 40% off.
Don't wait. Text VIEW to 200-300. Text the word VIEW to 200-300. VIEW to 200-300.
At Zaxby's, we don't just make chicken fingers. We make the most premium tenderloin. 12-hour marinated, hand-breaded, fried to golden perfection. Deserves not one, not two, not even three, but your choice of 12 dipping sauces chicken fingers. Chicken fingers that you can dip, dunk, or drizzle in ranch. And Zax sauce. And spicy Zax sauce. And honey mustard. And tongue torch. And barbecue. And I'm out of time. Woo, saucy! Zaxby's.
If you are getting something framed, there is the Frame Corner. FrameCornerMemphis.com. Right there, 5035 Park Avenue. And just see. You'll see what I say. You got something that you've been thinking about getting framed or something you want. Hey, you know what? I'll get this framed for this person and they'll love it. Believe me, they will love it because Frame Corner does a spectacular job of custom framing. So take whatever it's a photos, piece of art, sports memorabilia, whatever, diplomas, whatever it is, head on into Frame Corner, see what they can do for you. 5035 Park Avenue.
Summer Hoops coverage in Memphis is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
John Martin is the host of Jason and John weekdays 11 to 2, 92.9 FM ESPN. He is on X at John Martin 92.9. He is also the college columnist for the Daily Memphian, writes very in-depth on the Tigers, Tigers basketball, Tigers football, SEC, and around the world of college. Contributes not only on Odyssey, he's on 790, he does The Bet, he does all that stuff, he does Field of 68. He is everywhere and all things and having children all the time, and I welcome to the show as it's me, Brad Carson, in studio for Jeff, and John is on the show. What's up, John? How are you?
What's up, man?
So I'm going to start with LeBron James and Bronny. That seems to be the big topic of the day as we head into the 4th of July weekend. And I'm going to go to this McMenamin column that he wrote sort of going over the press conference that they had in Los Angeles yesterday, which I thought it was crazy. And I want to get your thoughts in a second, but I'll set it up this way. So first, you've got the numbers. Dalton Connect is going to be Connect 4. Do you think it's cute? Go.
Do I think it's what?
Cute? Is it good? Is it clever? Should we have Connect 4 on the Lakers?
That's his jersey number.
Yeah, 4. It's Connect spelled wrong, 4. So he's number 4.
Okay, all right.
All right, Bronny's going to wear number 9, honoring the late rap artist Juice WRLD, because he said he's referencing his number 9. Bronny has a 999 tattooed vertically behind his left ear. He said, Juice WRLD has been a big part of me keeping calm in some situations that I've been through, so I'm just paying homage to him by giving my number 9, especially because he passed. It's a really important thing for me. So before I get to the questions on the press conference, we got Connect 4 and we got Juice.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I get it. I mean, Juice WRLD met an unfortunately tragic end. He was, he had unfortunately gotten into too deep into, you know, the lean and drugs and things like that. I think, like, he died on a plane. When he was landing. It was a weird situation. Went into seizure or something. So I get it. I understand, you know, if it's something that means something to him. So,
yeah.
You know, Connect 4, I guess, makes sense. So,
okay.
You know.
Okay, so far so good. But then we get into the press conference itself, and this is when Rob Pelinka interrupts Bronny when he says he's thanking the franchise for all he's been given. Those are Bronny's words. He said, all the things I've been given. And then he gets interrupted by during the press conference, and this is J.J. Redick. Rob and I did not give Bronny anything. Bronny has earned this. Bronny has earned this through hard work. Is that the most ridiculous thing, or am I imagining things?
Well, you know, listen, he was a decorated high school recruit, 4- or 5-star recruit, and I don't deny that, you know, he's worked hard to be that. They're clearly sensitive to the narrative, you know, as they should be.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, because he, you know, I mean, I think it's possible somebody would have drafted him just because of the genetics in the second round, and you just, like, take a shot at it. But, yeah, look, they're sensitive to what people are saying about Bronny and, you know, the idea that he was only drafted because LeBron asked them to do it or forced them to do it or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to combat that, you know, and make it, and really, you know, again, depending on who you ask, I don't know how successful they are in doing that, but yeah, they're clearly just trying to combat that narrative and, you know, make it seem like it was something that was totally never going to happen just because it was LeBron's kid. It was all because of the potential. They're just trying to put that out there.
Yeah. We're talking to John Martin, host of the Jason and John Show, 11 to 2 here on 92.9. It's the Jeff Calkins Show. Brad Carson sitting in here. And then this morning's news was that LeBron is signing a 1+1 deal, his 22nd in Los Angeles, $104 million. It's basically an option year. And there are many saying that they don't think he's going to make it to year two. Do you think he'll make it to year two in this deal, that he'll be back and he'll take that option next year? Or is this the last year we'll see? I actually can see both sides. I could see this being his last year with the Lakers.
I mean, I just think it all depends on how it goes. I don't think that the Lakers are in a good situation. I don't think they're by any stretch of the imagination, you know, in a healthy position. I think they definitely are fried, you know, in terms of being a true contender. I don't think that's what they are in 2024. But, I mean, you know, they were in the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago. And you never know. I mean, if Anthony Davis is healthy and this sort of new retooled group they've got, you know, comes together, It just depends. If it's a disaster, you know, and they just are so far away, which I think they probably will be, then I could see LeBron, you know, saying that I'm just going to call it. I play with my son and, you know, I got that opportunity, but we're so far away that it's not even worth me exerting my leverage to do anything. Or if they're close, what he'll do is he'll just threaten retirement unless they get this, that, the other, whoever the, you know, flavor of the week is, you know, in the NBA a year from now.
Yeah.
So it just depends to me on how disastrously it all goes.
John Martin's with us. I want to get to the Grizzlies because they just announced their summer league, which starts on Monday, and they're going to have all those games on their app, by the way, so we can watch all of them as long as everything works right. But I want to bounce around the West first, going to the team that was talked about yesterday because they signed two ex-Grizzlies with DeAnthony Melton in the morning, and then by the afternoon, Kyle Anderson was on the roster. Hell, as Chris Harrington alludes to, hell, make it a trio and get Tyus Jones in the mix there if you want all three at this point to make it a bunch of ex-Grizzlies. Before I ask you how you think the Warriors will do, I want to just get your thoughts on what Draymond popped on his podcast. God bless him. There's always content from Draymond about himself. He kind of talked about this story which happened last year, and we had heard this story, but we hadn't really heard it from him yet, which was that it was basically kind of sort of almost basically a done deal for him to go to the Grizzlies as a free agent, because at that point they were trying to sign, you know, get the money right for him. Did that surprise you?
No, I mean, I even tweeted back last summer that I thought Draymond was really what the Grizz needed. Now they needed a lot last year, that we, you know, given the way it all played out, but you know, it made sense.
Yeah.
Just because the Grizzlies needed toughness, they needed sort of some more veteran leadership. I know, you know, again, you're sort of programmed, you know, as a Memphian to not like Draymond and not like the Warriors, and I understand that, but. You know, I really thought he would bring an edge that the Grizzlies did not have.
Yeah.
You know, and I think maybe some people would say too much of an edge. That's probably probably right.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I thought that was a very logical landing spot for Draymond, and it seems like clearly the Grizzlies thought the same thing. But, you know, as it typically happens, once that starts to get out there, you know, teams say, okay, let's figure this out. Let's come back to the table. Let's figure this all out. That's what happens.
It does feel like, though, that we are missing that. And when I say that, I mean, we're just praying at this point that Zach Edey is kind of the 20-minute stopgap solution at the five, because imagine a scenario if, and I know this is a dream world, and I'm, you know, but it's that veteran center like a Draymond Green, who's an undersized five, but plays with, he can pass the ball, doesn't need to score. I mean, it would be nice to have something like that on the roster. So I do think it's Zach Edey or bust at this point for Memphis, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing out there right now. I mean, you know, I think they drafted him sort of understanding that. It wasn't like, let's draft Zach Edey and, you know, go get a star center on the free agent market. I mean, he was the move, you know. Because I think they understood, you know, we don't want to be in a situation where if we pass on Zach Edey, who is a guaranteed starter, you know, potentially at center, you know, we don't want to be in a situation where we have to overpay Andre Drummond and hope he comes here, you know, because you don't know that you'd be able to even get him. So I think it was the only move that they could make given the context of their roster. But I also think it was the right one anyway. So I think everybody's going to end up being happy regardless.
Yep, we're talking to John Martin, host of Jason and John. He'll be on at 11 here on 92.9 FM ESPN. How do you think the Warriors will do with this mixed bag of toys, Kuminga? I mean, they've got Draymond. They'll have Steph, obviously. I have made a prediction. I think the Grizzlies and the Warriors are both play-in teams. I think they're in that bottom of the West. Do you think they're higher than that?
I'm higher on the Grizzlies than you are, Ben. I think the Grizzlies are better than a play-in team. You know, I mean, I saw everybody, like the NBA, you know, conscientiously going crazy over the addition of DeAnthony Melton.
Right.
But, you know, I guess there are some ways that he could be an upgrade over Klay Thompson, I suppose. But, I mean, his track record in the playoffs is absolutely abysmal at this point. he just disappears. He gives you nothing. He's either hurt or ineffective or whatever the case may be. So I'm not real sure, you know, if people watch the games or they just, like, look at box scores. But Anthony Melton is a guy that will be really good for you in the regular season and come up with some big steals and deflections and shots in the regular season, the first 82, and then that'll be it for him, which I guess is good for regular season Warriors, but not sure what the plan is for the postseason. Kyle Anderson is like a, you know what you're getting. I mean, you know you're getting a solid, you know, guy that's not going to make mistakes, you know, who's going to have 6 points and seven rebounds and, you know, three assists. I mean, that's, you know, that's what you're getting. And that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But do I think, like, their ceiling is materially different today than it was yesterday? I mean, no, you still have a 36-year-old Steph Curry. You know, you still have an increasingly ineffective offensively Draymond Green. You know, you still have an unproven Jonathan Kuminga. And then, of course, you know, you have, Andrew Wiggins.
Looney, they resigned. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm not, you know, you are what you are from that standpoint. So I don't think, like, my feelings about them aren't that different today.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think we're talking about the same group of teams. The West is going to be a gauntlet, though, and it's going to be a problem. And then the Lakers are going to be fighting to get in there, too, with whatever they come up with these young players. John Martin's on with us on 92.9 FM ESPN. We haven't talked about the Tigers. There's really been no news except this waiver denial yesterday. They're not getting Caleb Mills. The roster, you know, we're looking at P.J. Haggerty, Tyrese Hunter, Colby Rogers, Dane Danger, Musa Cisse. Is this what we're going to have? And is this, I guess, is our start, we're in the tournament. Where are you at on the Tigers after yesterday's news, and just since we haven't really had any news outside of the staff in the summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is your roster, but for better or worse. I mean, there's not a guy that in July that, you know, they're going to be able to. I mean, again, unless he falls out of the sky because of a guy gets kicked out of school or something,
right?
You know, there's
which
just,
is very plausible.
I mean, sure. I mean, anything can happen. But unless that does happen, I mean, this is it. They'll add, you know, some depth pieces, I assume. But, you know, other than that, your top 6-7 is your top 6-7. And is it tournament? I don't really think so. I think it's probably on the cusp with a lean for me towards out.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, just because there's not a lot of history on Memphis' side here, with maybe they only are returning Nick Jordan. I mean, that's the only minutes that they're bringing back. And teams that only return that amount of minutes don't go to the tournament. I mean, in the age of the transfer
portal. Yeah, I heard you say that on the show the other day. That was
I mean, there is too much of that. Mm-hmm. So such a thing as too much of that. So, I mean, maybe Penny can bring them all together and they fall in love with each other, and it's fantastic. But I would once again say that Memphis was 15-2 last year, and they found a way to not make it. So,
yeah.
I mean, kind of wake me up in February.
Who else is good in that league with, you know, obviously SMU leaving the American? Who are we fighting with if we're talking about just the conference bid?
I mean, UAB will probably be the co-favorite with you. And then there's a pretty big drop-off. After that, I mean, FAU lost Dusty May. USF got absolutely raided, pillaged by the portal. And so I don't really think there's another team. Like, you really have no opportunities once you get into conference play, you know, to do anything other than hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Which is the piece of it that is so hard. Now, look, they are in Maui. They have multiple SEC opponents. They have multiple ACC opponents. They have a chance. It's just the issue is that's at the beginning of your season, you know, and you know, teams conceivably get better as the season goes on. Now, again, Memphis last year did not. They got worse as the season went on. So if you could somehow find a way to start anywhere close to that, and, I mean, just anything better, a couple of games better. Not don't lose to Rice.
Right.
You know, you're probably in, but it's going to take a start. It's going to take a hot start, similar to what we saw last year for Memphis.
Did you get a chance to see Hard Knocks last night?
I saw some. I saw some clips, but that's it. I saw where they told they had the meeting where they said, you know, would we trade Saquon and we're paying Daniel Jones $40 million to hand off to a $12 million running back. Yeah, it seemed interesting.
You saw the show, basically, right there. That's basically
it.
Yeah. Jake and I watched the whole thing. I think I might have wasted 45 minutes of my life. Your synopsis was the whole show yesterday, which it tells you a little bit about being in the middle of the summer. We're up against the 4th of July holiday and how desperate I am to see just a trailer and some football content, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but it's the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge problem.
Right.
You know?
Sorry, Jeffrey.
He knows.
Yeah, I live it.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be thin because they're going to have is Daniel Jones is it, right?
I mean, this is kind of this is like the last year.
Oh, they're so screwed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you do walk away from that. That's the thing you walk away from is you're like, the Giants are totally screwed. And then Waller is in the videos. Like, he's retired, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
God.
And then did some, like, music videos about his divorce.
Oh, they're screwed.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Big plans for the...
When did this filming start? It must have started in OTAs.
So they filmed... This is even... I think they filmed pre-draft.
Yeah, it was January, because they're talking... They do the final snap of the Super Bowl, and then they get right into... And then here's one interesting thing I did learn from this, and you guys probably know this. Maybe I'm new to the party. Like, they go to the Senior Bowl to scout players for the draft, but they're really not scouting players. They're negotiating contracts and trades while the games are going on. Like, they're literally sitting there, and he is sitting on the GM sitting on the sidelines watching the game.
There's no paper trail down there,
and they're just talking
So the tampering. Most of the tampering happens at Senior Bowl and Combine because they're all at the same place, so they're negotiating and there's no electronic trail.
Did they just get an edge rusher from Charlotte from the Panthers?
Yes, they did.
So that trade happened at the Senior Bowl verbally, and it was like a picks, and they're like, how many picks? Like, they went through that whole trade on the sideline at the Senior Bowl. I thought that was interesting, but short of that, that was only the most fascinating thing.
I saw somebody say, like, Good to see that NFL GMs discuss trades of their players the same way I do with my fantasy team.
Correct.
Literally walking up at the, you know, whatever, golf course or whatever.
It's the same. It is the same. Like, we all make fun of the fact that we're so obsessed with our fantasy football teams. It's the same thing. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.